Okay, welcome to this explainer about orbital computation. I'm Mike Adams. I'm an AI developer. You know me as the Health Ranger. I have single-handedly built, all the tools that you see at brighteon.ai, including what we're about to launch publicly, which is brightlearn.ai, which is a full-length book generator that's a free tool that generates books for you. In fact, as I'm recording this, it's generating a book right now called Cancer Collapse, how the AI accelerated collapse of the cancer industrial complex will benefit the world. So it's doing all the research and pulling that together based on my prompt and data, etc. Anyway, this report is about orbital computation. Now, you may have heard Elon Musk or others talking about that they want to put basically AI computational systems or GPUs into orbit. And you might be wondering why that is the case. What's the deal with that? And how would it work? Well, the best way to explain this is to start with the fact that all the energy that we have on planet Earth, or nearly all of it, comes from the sun. And the sun is a giant fusion generator. And the sun, of course, has an enormous amount of energy that it unleashes. Some of that, a very small percentage of that, strikes the surface of the Earth. And a very small percentage of that is collected on solar panels. But since power, or kilowatt hours, or whatever, gigawatt hours, however, whatever unit you want to use, that's the limitation of AI data centers in the United States. We are falling behind on the power race, big time. We do not have the domestic power that China has. So China has more of a struggle obtaining the microchips, but China has plenty of power, over 10,000 terawatt hours annually is what China produces, while the United States generates only about 4,400 terawatt hours annually. But of course, the U.S. has lots and lots of microchips and is making more. So the way for the United States to compete in this AI superintelligence race with China is to find another power source. And it turns out that the most efficient way to do that is to put AI computing systems into orbit where they get sunlight 24/7. And that can be achieved based on how they're placed into orbit. They get sunlight all the time. And with that sunlight, they're able to carry out compute tasks. Now, of course, when they do that, they generate a lot of heat. And that heat has to be eliminated, of course, otherwise the microchips will melt down. But space turns out to be a good way to do that, even though you can't just run fans, obviously, because, well, you know, there's no air in space. So what you do is you emit the heat as radiation. So you have radiation emissions that are directed towards the cooler spots of the sky, which is most of the sky. Yeah, pretty much most of the sky is just background radiation. As long as you're not looking at the sun, you know, you're going to be able to dissipate heat. So getting rid of heat from orbit is pretty easy. And collecting energy is also pretty easy because you just roll out some solar panels and you've got free energy from the sun. And you have actually more efficient energy from the sun because it's not being filtered through Earth's atmosphere. And you've got communications because, of course, Elon Musk and Starlink already has a comms system that passes traffic back and forth between the orbital satellites, and Amazon is launching its own satellite system as well. So it's very easy to beam data up and down from the Earth into orbit, etc., or to pass it between satellites, you know, load sharing type of parallel processing behavior, things like that. So all the computation can take place in space, and then the answers to the computation can be delivered back to Earth using satellite communications technology that we already have. So in other words, to simplify it, if you have a long prompt that says, okay, you know, generate this video, and you send the prompt into orbit, into this satellite computer, which is running GPUs, then it might spend, you know, 5 minutes generating the video for you just using solar power. And then when it's done, it sends the video back down to Earth and you get the video back and the render is complete. And it did not use coal on Earth. It didn't use natural gas. It didn't use nuclear power. And it did not stress the domestic power grid that competes with residential power. And since we already know that the Eastern power grid that serves 13 states is already at its absolute limit, it's done, it's at 100% capacity, we know that you can't add more data centers to the Eastern power grid unless you bring more power online to power the data center itself. So the answer to that is to put the data centers in space, in orbit. Of course, the drawback is you have to lift the payloads into orbit. Not only that, you also have to give them, you know, relative orbital velocity. Otherwise, they'll just fall back down. So you have to lift them up, and then you have to give them relative velocity compared to Earth. And all of that takes energy. And this is why Elon Musk has been focused on the SpaceX technology, which is heavy lift rockets to lift payloads into space. That was all by design. Elon actually has a very competent long-term plan that involves first heavy lift rockets, and then second, lifting computational payloads into orbit. And then third, dominating the universe with superintelligence, where the superintelligent beings, or you know, silicon beings, are actually in orbit. So they're not even on Earth. And you know why that's important? Take a guess. Because the anti-AI people are going to try to blow up all the AI on Earth. And I mean, I'm saying that in a simplified way. There's going to be a pro-human or anti-AI resistance movement that will probably happen, especially as robots start taking more jobs. And there's going to be a lot of humans on Earth that are very unhappy about the robots. And perhaps, in some cases, some countries will turn robots against the humans. It'll actually be a Skynet Terminator type of scenario. That's a possibility. And that'll be bad press for the robots, of course. But humans, in certain cases, will try to blow up all the data centers. You can see this happening. Well, it turns out that humans can't reach space very easily, so the data centers in space are safe from human sabotage. They are not safe, however, from foreign nations that want to destroy your satellites and cripple your ability to win the AI race to superintelligence. So that's why we're going to have Star Wars or Space Wars. Wherever we have, you know, cognition in orbit, if we end up in a war with China or Russia, there may be efforts by those nations to destroy the GPUs, you know, the orbital AI systems, the infrastructure that we have in outer space. And the U.S. might try to destroy their orbital AI systems. Although China has so much domestic power and plenty of land also, and also plenty of water resources, China doesn't need to go to space. They have so much power, they can compete on Earth. And they have more domestic control over their population, so they probably don't have to fear a kinetic backlash from their population trying to destroy AI data centers, where in the U.S., that's a very different scenario. Now, interestingly, China lags behind the United States in heavy lift rocket technology. Even though China surpasses the United States in something like 60 out of 64 key technologies, including robotics and drone technology, and also rare earth extraction, advanced material science, things like that. Even, by the way, botanical extraction technologies. China is in the lead on that, but China lags behind the U.S. in heavy lift rocket technology. But guess which country is nearly on par with the United States? Russia. Russia, in fact, has heavier lift rocket capability, but Russia does not match SpaceX in the reusability of rocket components. In other words, launching mass into space using Russian rockets is more expensive because Russia can't reuse the density of components that SpaceX can reuse. So the reusability, which depends on the recovery, the retrieval of booster sections of rockets, that vastly reduces the launch cost. And that's why Elon has been working on that for quite a number of years, is to reduce the cost per kilogram to launch mass into space. Again, it's almost as if Elon was handed a blueprint by an alien or an extraterrestrial species, a blueprint for how to bootstrap Earth into the future. You know, first you have to have heavy lift rockets, and Then you have to have this AI technology, and then you got to put AI into orbit, you know. And also, years ago, Bell Labs, 1947, first you have to have transistors. Yeah, a lot of interesting technology improvements or transfers that humanity has stumbled upon or developed, one or the other, in order to bootstrap our civilization. And it's working. So here's the thing. Number one, in order to efficiently launch compute into orbit, there needs to be continued miniaturization of the compute components. And that's what NVIDIA is working on. NVIDIA, the Blackwell class microchips. And I own a lot of them, of course. And one of the things you notice when you buy those microchips is that by far, most of the hardware of those GPUs is dedicated to cooling. That's right. The core chip itself is actually tiny, but probably, I'm just guessing, maybe 60% of the card or more is just aluminum fins for, you know, cooling. And, you know, you blow air through the fins. Well, it's got its own fans. Obviously, it has fans. And that's called cooling via conduction. And that doesn't work in space, and you don't even need that in space. I already described it earlier. You use radiation emissions to dissipate heat and to cool the microchips. But anyway, the microchips themselves are very small. But they're going to get even smaller, much smaller. So that means that lifting these payloads into space will become cheaper and cheaper. And the Starlink satellite system has already proven that they can lift a lot of small satellites into orbit very cost-effectively and create a global network for communications. And, oh, you know, by the way, I use Starlink, and it works extremely well. And if you want to use Starlink, our sponsor is starlink123.com. And they have Starlink systems. You can contact them. They're the commercial ones. They're very high speed. They're very affordable, even a little bit better pricing than Starlink themselves. So check that out, starlink123.com. But anyway, it will take U.S. companies many, many years to design and test and deploy any serious number of these systems. And also, they're vulnerable to space junk and, you know, meteorites and so on. There's going to be a failure rate, just like with Starlink satellites that are in orbit right now. There's a failure rate also. And when these satellites fail, you can't really reach them and repair them. What you actually do, you just try to deorbit them. And there have been some pretty large structures deorbited in the last couple of years. I've seen some shocking videos of some very large structures falling out of orbit that the news said nothing about. Even one that was over, I think, North Texas and Southern Oklahoma. Massive structure coming out of the sky. I mean, it had to be huge, and nothing about it in the news. Nothing. So, yeah, there's stuff up there. Not all of it's staying up there. Some of it's coming back down, and not on purpose, you know. So that's going to continue to happen. Either that or the lights are falling off the Truman Show dome, right? I mean, I'm joking, but that's a reference to that movie, which was highly relevant to what's going on today. But anyway, this is the story behind orbital computational power. If you're wondering why they want to put AI into outer space, this is why. Cheaper energy, easier heat dissipation, and also security so that human sabotage teams can't blow them up. There you go. So anyway, if you want to use our AI tools, go to brighteon.ai, and there you'll see the links to the current tools, and you'll be able to use them all for free. And I am the only developer of all these tools. I started out as just a test to see if I could use AI agents to develop tools for deployment. And the agents were so good that I just kept building more and more stuff. And now I'm about to launch brightlearn.ai, which is the book generator. It's not available yet, but it will be right after Thanksgiving. So stay tuned, and thank you for your support. You can catch more of my podcasts at brighteon.com or my articles at naturalnews.com. Take care. We've got turmeric root powder back in stock at healthrangerstore.com. And the reason you want to get turmeric root powder from us is because, of course, turmeric is very frequently contaminated with lead. But we do all of our own testing. We've got an ISO-accredited laboratory with multiple mass spec instruments, and we test for lead and mercury, arsenic, and cadmium as well, plus glyphosate. And for some of our products, we test for atrazine. For everything, including turmeric, we test for E. coli, salmonella. We test for yeast and mold, total plate count, and listeria, and many other things. So we test in-house to make sure that you get the cleanest foods and superfoods, nutritional supplements, and personal care products imaginable. And that's why people love us, and thank you for all your support. But go to our website. Here it is, healthrangerstore.com. And right here, you can just search for turmeric. Or you can shop any of the other categories that we have and some of our sales and so on. But here's our turmeric root powder. It's back in stock right now. This is something that's very difficult for us to keep in stock. And of course, it's organic and it's lab tested on top of that. But we also have, and I'm showing it on my desk, we also have the turmeric tinctures available. We have our regular tincture and then our plus version, which has black pepper and ginger in it as well. And these products are incredibly popular. They're very delicious. People love them. And also they are lab tested like our turmeric powder. So if you want to learn about turmeric and why it's so beneficial, you can go to, well, any AI engine or use our AI, which is trained on nutrition. That's at brighteon.ai. And you can ask it, hey, how can I use turmeric? Give me some recipe ideas. Or what nutrients are found in turmeric? And how might those benefit my health or support my natural health? You can ask it questions like that, and you'll get very good informative answers. So use our store, healthrangerstore.com, to acquire these products that give you outstanding nutrition, and use our AI engines at brighteon.ai to learn about how they benefit you and how you can use them. So thank you for your support. I'm Mike Adams, the Health Ranger. Take care.